love you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, we come to your word this morning, Lord God, with expectation. Father, I thank you that every time I open the words of your book, your light shines into the depths of my innermost being to change me. Father, I pray that your word would go forth in power and would penetrate every heart. In Jesus' mighty name. Lord God, I surrender and bow before you, the God of heaven and earth. And I give you all the praise and glory for what you will do in every single one of our hearts and lives today. In Jesus' mighty name. And God's people said, amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Please take your seats. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Wow. I am so expectant about this year. How many of you are just expectant about this year? I can't remember the last time I crossed over with such a sense of expectation, with such a sense of what God wants to do, with such a sense of the speed with which he will act on our behalf if we will just align ourselves with his purposes. Such a sense of the breakthroughs and blessings that he wants to deliver to us that we may be able to in turn just bring glory to him. Before I get into the word this morning, I literally just want for a couple of minutes just to give you a starter. Yes, when we go out for meals, we have a starter, and it's nothing to do with the main course, and we're going to have a starter first that was just on my heart. You know, how many of you always develop goals at the beginning of a new year? Put your hand up high if you've done it already this year. Hands up high. You've done it this year. And of those with your hands up, leave them up. How many of you then look at your goals at least every other day? Keep your hands up throughout the year. Praise God. Let me tell you something about goals. Research was done. I don't have the names or the facts, but if you research Terry Savelle 4, you'll find it within 5 minutes because this is her area. But there is one thing that the most successful people in the world have in common. Only one thing. Research was done to try and understand what are the patterns, what are the things that successful people have in common, the most successful of all. And the one thing they had in common, there was nothing else that they shared in common, the one thing they had in common was they all had clearly defined goals, which they kept before them throughout any given period of time. And you know, the Bible says it, write the vision down, make it clear that those who read it may run with it. Yeah, you all know Habakkuk 2:2. I want to encourage you in this year of go to have your goals very clearly set before you and goals that you constantly go back to. They need to be goals that come out of your delighting in the Lord. They need to be goals that come out of your times of prayer and worship. Not goals that come from the flesh, but goals that come from the spirit. And the minute you get one, you'll know the difference. Amen? But there's something else in this year of go I want to encourage every person. It's your choice, but I want to encourage you to do. I've got 10 goals for 2015. And you know what? I can't make a single one of them happen. Only God can. Every single one of my 10 goals. And I know they're all God-planted goals in my heart. And I will pray into them, I will decree them, I will declare them. And, you know, there won't be a day goes by where those goals aren't burning on the inside of me because they came from heaven. Are you hearing me? But as well as my goals, which I can't make happen, I have 3 commitments. Say commitment. A commitment is something I can make happen. Are you hearing me? I still need God's power and enabling and ability and help in everything I do. Amen? Amen? But they're the things that I'm saying to God, Father, in 2015, I will do this. Because I know that as long as I actually want to do this, I can. Let me give you an example, one of them. For me, because it was a culture change in my life last year, is one of my commitments is that I will read 10 books this year. Do you understand? I can read. Are you hearing me? So I know that I can read 10 books this year. And I know that if I am led by the Spirit about the books I choose, my life will not be the same after reading each one. I'm reading Appointment in Jerusalem right now. And I broke down weeping last night as I'm reading because the words are so stirring me up. And, you know, what I'm reading in the pages of this book, I want to encourage you to have some commitments. But I would love to invite everyone here to have a soul-winning commitment. Let me tell you why soul winning is a commitment and not a goal. I remember once, I don't know how many years ago, maybe 8 years ago, saying to my cell group, saying to them, how many of you believe that if I said that I would give you, and I put it slightly differently, but if I would give you £1,000, if you want, I can make it 10,000. I'll give you £10,000 if you win someone to Jesus before the end of the week. How many of you know, just be honest with me, that if I said I'll come back next Sunday with a check of £10,000 for you, if you win someone to Jesus that's gone in prayer, I don't mean someone superficially, I mean you've prayed into it and you've gone out and you've... How many of you know if I said I'll give you £10,000, you can win someone next week? How many? Put your hands up if you know that you could. Wave at me. Come on. Be bold. Wave at me. You're saying, I know I could if it was... Right. So I realized that the reason I didn't win someone every month last year was because I didn't really want to enough. Am I allowed to be real with you? So I've got a soul-winning commitment. I've got a Bible reading commitment, a soul winning commitment, and a book reading commitment. They're my three. I don't need a fitness commitment because I just do that anyway. I don't need a worship or a prayer commitment. I do those things. God's been challenging me about extending what I do in the Word in 2015. So I've made that one of my commitments. Are you hearing the difference? In this year of go, I want to encourage you, have your goals before you. But hear from heaven about some commitments. Kamal, I know that if you wanted to, he's my brother, my son, my mate, everything, so I'm allowed to say this. I know that if you wanted to, you could win someone to the Lord every month. And not just someone who you spoke to at a bus stop and never saw again. But someone, you know, many of them you'd nurture. Are you hearing me? The difference between goals and commitments. So in this year of go, where God wants to release so many blessings into your life, into your family, into your marriage, into your workplace, into your situation, I encourage you, have your goals, but also get before God prayerfully and say, Father, what commitments do you want me to make to you? Amen? Amen. Praise God. Well, that was the starter. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, God put a word on my heart today. And I just believe that God wants to stir something very special on the inside of us. He wants to create a hunger and a desire in you for something greater than you're currently attaining to. Amen. And I want you to turn in your Bible to Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. And I'm just going to read a couple of verses there. If you have it open at Numbers 13, verse 31, and then I'll give you a bit of an introduction. Numbers 13, verse 31. You know the story about the 12 spies. Everyone know it. Wave at me if you know the story of the 12 spies. So we're diving in towards the end of that story. And as you know, 12 spies went out. 2 came back with a good report. 10 came back freaked out by what they'd seen. Is that a sufficiently accurate description of what happened? Amen? Amen. And we're going to look at the 10. And we're going to look at what happened as a result of their lives. Okay? Do you know, sometimes if we understand something from a negative perspective, we can better understand what we can tap into from a positive perspective. I remember when I understood the curses in Deuteronomy, suddenly I got so much more of an understanding of what I was set free from. Are you hearing me? I mean, it goes into so much detail in the curses in Deuteronomy that you can go, wow, well, if any of those things are in my life, they're not my portion. So I have a double reason to refuse them. Are you hearing me? So I want us to look at these 10 men. These aren't 10 men who were talked about in any great detail anywhere else in Scripture that we know of. But it says in verse 31, but the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. 14 verse 1. And it says, so all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And then in verse 2, at the end of it, the people now end up saying, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in the wilderness. You see, these 10 people went out on a mission, if you like, sent by Moses to go and spy the land of Canaan, and they saw how amazing it was. But doubt filled their heart and fear filled their hearts. When they looked around, they saw, you know, first of all, it's, if you follow this story, at first the people they saw, they said, wow, they were men of great stature. And then a verse later, they were calling them giants. Have you noticed when you dwell on fear, it grows? Are you hearing me? Have you ever seen, like, for example, one of the things I say to parents is be really careful. If you tolerate fear, your children will catch that fear. I mean, Roro, you know, she used to, I mean, anything flying or crawling. And I'd be like, lady, you need to get hold of that fear. Because otherwise your daughter is going to grow up in fear. Because you see, fear is contagious. It catches. Doubt is contagious. It catches. So you see, these 10 guys, I don't know what happened out there, you know, but who knows, you know, it may have been that some of them started off feeling quite strong and full of faith. Wow, God said, so look, yeah, there are some big people around, but my God's bigger. But you see, one of them suddenly going, oh no, no, this looks too hard. I can't handle this. This is too difficult. And you see, let me give you a tip. When you sense fear in your heart, we all contend with fear. When you sense it in your heart, when doubt is arising in your heart, shut your trap. Shut your trap and just get into prayer. You know, when something's bothering me, when I'm getting worried about something, if there's something I'm thinking, oh my God, you know, I've committed to this, but now I just don't know if it's possible. What I don't do is go around telling lots of people, I don't think I can do this. Oh my goodness. No, I withdraw myself and I get into prayer and I go back to what has God said. Are you hearing me? Someone in that group started this. Someone among the 10. Started this. We're going somewhere this morning. Stay with me. You see, when fear rises in your heart, contending with the goals that God's given you to accomplish, and let me tell you, if there's never any chance of fear, if there's never any chance of doubt, you probably haven't heard God in the first place. Are you hearing me? Because if you can do it in your own strength, it's not God. If you can do it without the Lord, then that isn't a goal from heaven. That's something from down the road that you picked up at the grocery store. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We need goals from heaven that will stretch our faith, that will demand that we will reach out to God for only he can accomplish it. You know, let me give you an example last year of one of the goals I had. You know, because the Bible says that he'll do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or imagine. Amen? And one of the goals I had was to take my first steps into TV. I mean, every goal, bar one, which then got turned around, God fulfilled last year. But you see, this thing of taking my first steps into TV, because I knew that God was saying, you know, Joe, I want to take you that direction. So you need to start praying and believing for it. Now, there was nothing I could do to make that happen. And it's very tempting to kind of go, oh, well, maybe I didn't hear God after all. Amen. But you see, I just kept praying and believing, Father, I'm going to take my first steps into TV in 2014. Father, I thank you that you're going to create an opportunity that I can't see before me right now. Are you hearing me? I never expected that first step. You understand? You see, that was the size of my faith. A first step that allowed me to be very modest in my prayers. But the Bible says in Ephesians 3 verse 20 that he does immeasurably more than we ask. So if we ask for nothing, but if we ask for something, then he can do immeasurably, abundantly, beyond. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And so through, you know, I was praying, Lord, I pray that you would create that right thing, that right door, that right opening. And just God so supernaturally opened a door. I never expected my first step to be sitting on a sofa on Praise the Lord, TBN, being interviewed by Apostle Maldonado, and that program going out again and again and again across America, Africa, and Europe. Are you hearing me? I was just believing for a small step. The point I'm making is that when the doubts and fears and the, well, you know, what are you doing trying to believe God about TV? Who's going to want, you know, to hear you? I did not voice those fears. I did not allow those doubts out of my heart. I didn't give the enemy something to work with. Why? Because you see, every word we speak is a seed. Say seed. 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 Every time I open my mouth, it's a seed. Now, these 10 people sowed seeds, but they sowed the wrong sort. And as a result of their words, say words, an entire generation, an entire generation was robbed of its destiny. 10 people, words, say words. Now, everything we speak has the potential to achieve something in the life of somebody else. You know, we all know that we need to speak the right stuff about our own lives. It has to start there. Say, it starts with me. You know, we have to say the right stuff about ourselves. Please get beyond that, oh, I'm useless at everything. I'm not good. It's not going to happen. Please, please, please grow beyond that this year. Amen. I mean, that's just, you know, we can either stay up, be on God's side, or we can say, oh, no, I'm going to go to the enemy's side. And that's when we just allow all that junk of self-doubt out of our mouths. Say, no more. No more. No more. No more. Hallelujah. You see, I'm giving you some tools for this year to ensure that this year is that awesome, glorious year that God wants it to be for you. Every word brings either, what does the Bible say, death or life. Do you know, I'm always asking God for ways of remembering where scriptures are. So if I can't remember where it is, it's not very helpful. You know, I loved how God showed me how to remember that. Death and life are in the power of the tongue is Proverbs 18:21. 18 and 21 are the two coming of age years in our lives. So when we come of age as a Christian, we've learned to tame our tongue. Are you hearing me? Don't stop taming that tongue in your mouth until you've got it under control. Until no word comes out your mouth unless you've permitted it. And unless you believe in it and you support it. Hallelujah. But you see, every word is a seed. So every single one of us is sowing seeds all the time into the lives of others. The Bible says that you are the light of the world. Matthew, you are the light of the world. Matthew chapter 5, and I think it's verse 24. You are the light of the world. Say, I am light. I am light. That means when you show up in a dark place, the entire room needs to lighten up. That means when you turn up at your workplace, no matter what's going on there, suddenly light has walked in the room. That means that no matter how difficult the circumstances in your family, that when you show up, light has just entered those circumstances. You and I are light. We're influencers. You see, it's impossible for light to not influence things. Isn't that true? You know, light influences everything. It changes the mood in a room. I love lighthouses. I love it when I can turn a light on and it goes really light. I love light. Light influences. Light changes things. You are an influencer. You are a changer. And you see, one of the ways that you change things is with your words. So you see, let me give you two recent examples in my life. There was a particular situation, a marriage situation that was just, you know, I was concerned. My heart was really turning, and I was just, you know, praying. But I was in an, you know, when you're just, you're affected by something. Because you love people and you're seeing them in pain. And just one person, you know, there was a group of us who just were praying into this situation. One person just turned to me and said, God's still on the throne. Do you know, those words instantly, say instantly, just went vroom into my spirit. That woman literally spoke life to my faith. Suddenly it changed the way I was seeing things. Every word is a seed. Are you hearing me? Let me give you another recent example. One of the challenges that I have in the next few months, you know, I was feeling a bit sort of, you know, overwhelmed by that challenge, and God had now stirred my faith, and I was like, yes, you know, I'm ready for this, I'm going for it. And then I got a text from Sarah. And she just said these words, they are going to come running. And suddenly everything changed. It was like I was no longer fighting a fight. I was now looking back from a place of victory. Every word is a seed. Are you hearing me? You can use your words to influence the lives of others. You can use your words not only to ensure the outcome of your life, the outcome of your year, how successful you are this year, how far you go this year, but you can also use your words to influence the lives of others. Those 10 people influenced a nation. You can influence your community. You can influence the people around you, your family, just with your words. You see, when you and I start to realize that we are influential, I'm influential. Not because I've got a microphone. I'm influential wherever I am because I'm light. Are you hearing me? Wherever you go, you carry influence. Whatever you're doing, you are able to bring about change and transformation in that situation. All you need to start with is just making sure, do you know what? Everything that comes out of my mouth, it's going to be positive. It's going to be encouraging. It's going to be building. Are you hearing me? I'm not going to be the one that goes, oh, really? You think you can manage that? Someone shares their heart with you. We've all had it happen. And we share our hearts with, we misjudge the situation. And then suddenly what we're saying, and they're going, oh, you're kidding. You're not going to manage that. Oh, I think you're being unrealistic. Do you know, even if you think someone's being unrealistic, just, in, you know, you can stand by instead and say, wow, what are you doing towards that goal? What can I do to support you? How can I encourage you? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Every word that you speak is a seed. God said, and it happened, and we're made in his image. So when I speak, I can bring about transformation in the life and circumstances of the people around me. These 10 people just spoke. They just said what was on their mind. And they influenced an entire generation. When you go out, you know, when you are hanging around people, the more you have confidence in God to work through you, the more he will be able to work through you. Because we all need faith. Are you hearing you? So the more you have confidence that just by being with that person, just by sitting, the love of God has turned up in this person's life today because I showed up. Are you hearing me? I showed up at work today. So the answers to the problems in this office showed up today. I turned up today. So the anointing is now here. Are you hearing me? I turned up in this situation and therefore favor is now on the scene. Are you hearing me? So how many people here, you're saying, yes, I know, I am light. So let's say it together. I am light. I am light. You see, what does it say in Isaiah 60? Isaiah 60 verse 1 says, arise, shine, for your light has come. You see, you are light. Say, I'm light again.
I am light.
Hallelujah. But you see, there's something we need to do about the light. For the light has come. You see, it says, arise, shine. Now, what does that mean? You know, I was amazed when I looked up the Hebrew for arise. You know, there are some words in the Bible that have about 50 different meanings. Absolutely phenomenal. This word is packed full of meaning, arise. But let me pull out just a few of what it means. It says, arise means stand up. Come on the scene. Isn't that good? Come on the scene. Be clear. Decree it and persist to accomplishment. Are you hearing me? Isn't that extraordinary? Stand up. Come on the scene. In other words, look, you've got to start showing up in the right place at the right time. Some of you, you know, God wants, there's a call to prayer coming out to you. And he's saying, don't just show up on the first couple of prayer meetings of the year. Arise to this. Let that be something you say, I'm on the scene now. You're going to see me around a lot this year because I'm not going to miss a prayer meeting. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Arise. Come on the scene. In other words, it's make your presence felt. Decree it. Do you remember the word last week that our pastor shared about decreeing the thing? What is it God is going to do for you this year? Decree it. Labor in it in prayer and endure until fulfillment. Awesome. You see, within this whole idea of arising, it's I'm going to speak it. I'm going to put the word in my mouth. I'm going to have the boldness to say it out loud. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Shine. Well, how do I shine? I'm like, I was going, God, what do you want me to do? I go, wee. You know, how do you and I shine? And that basically means set it on fire. Kindle. So we've got to place ourselves in the presence of God and in places where we know that the fire of God is going to be stirred up on the inside of us. You see, I'm light, but the brightness of my light will depend upon how much that fire is burning on the inside. The fire of God's presence, the fire of his spirit in me. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God wants us to do some stuff this year. He wants you to know that you're an influencer. And he wants you to use it. Say, use it.
Use it.
He wants you to use your influence in order to be able to shape and touch and bring healing and love and power to a whole generation. Do you know anyone here and you feel you're called to heal the sick? Wave at me if you know you feel a bit, you know, maybe you're a bit shy about it. You're not sure yet. You haven't done it much. And do you know, there's one instruction to you. Lay hands on the sick. Like, just pray for people. Do it. And you know, everyone who didn't put your hands up, put your hand up. Everyone who didn't, just put your hand up. If you didn't put your hand up, okay. Are you a believer, those with your hands up? Okay. You're called to heal the sick. So some have a special call. The rest of us have a call. Are you hearing me? Heal the sick. These signs shall follow those who believe. They shall not. They might lay hands on the sick if they feel like it. But they shall lay hands on the sick. You know, so if we really are a believer, not a Christian, but a believer, someone who believes. I want to be a believer. I want to be someone who believes what God's word says. And when I don't see it manifested, I want to challenge my experience, not God's word. You know, we've just got to get back up, dust ourselves off, and go for it again. Get back up, dust ourselves off, and go for it again. What did Jesus say to the disciples? If you get rejected, if it all goes horribly wrong, shake the dust off your feet and leave that place and go somewhere else. Doesn't say and go home and weep for a while and tend your wounds and go, oh Lord, it was so terrible. No, it's going to happen. You will be rejected for your faith. If you share often enough, you'll be rejected. But just get healed and then move on. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God is going to move on our behalf this year like never before. But we need to know that we count. You count. The people you know are super abundantly, mightily blessed that you are in their lives. Because without you in their lives, there's something that couldn't happen for them. The good works that God prepared beforehand for you to do, there's some unique works that only you can do. When you show up on the scene, arise, shine, just get on fire. Get in the presence of God because your light has come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, it says in Job chapter 22 and verse 28, it says, you shall declare a thing and it will be established for you. And this again shows the relationship. Can you see the relationship between light and words? Light and words. I'm light, therefore I'm an influence. But it's dependent upon my words that my light will shine. You will declare a thing and it will be established for you, so light will shine on your ways. The more that you and I declare the things that we know that God wants established in our lives. You know, I used to find it really odd at first. I'd be like, oh God, you know, I would be a bit embarrassed to just say out loud. Does anyone else feel like that sometimes? Just saying out loud. I used to feel a bit embarrassed and shy about saying stuff out loud. And then I thought, you know what? I mean, I'm the only one hearing it right now because I'm in my prayer closet. No one else is here. So I'm going to start declaring this stuff. But then the boldness comes. Are you hearing me? God will establish it, but if you don't declare it, what's he going to do? But you see, if you will decree a thing, if you will declare a thing, then it shall be established for you. Isn't that awesome? God will do it for you because he loves you, because you're his son, his daughter, because he treasures you. But he needs us to use our tongues for his glory, to use our mouths as positive influences. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You know, something God dropped on my heart that he wants me to share today is in this area of negativity. Now, one of the ways that the enemy tries to limit what God is able to do through us is by introducing an atmosphere or a spirit or a tendency towards negativity. Now, it's subtle. Say subtle. You see, you might say, well, I'm a go-getter. I get stuff done. I get the job done. But you see, I want you to just stop and think for a while about your life. Right now, stop and think about, right now, you know, if someone that you really trust, who you love, you see as a bit of a, you know, a mentor or father or mother figure, somebody you really trust, if they were to say, how are you? You know, in that voice, you know that, how are you? How are you really doing? And I want you to hear someone asking you those words right now. How are you? How many of you, some of the first things that would start to come up in your heart are about the struggles? Well, 2014 was a really tough year. Well, I'm, please don't misunderstand me. Sometimes people are going through hell. I'm not talking about that. You understand? Well, you know, I'm working so hard at work. I'm really tired, actually, at the moment. You know, and the first thing that comes out of your mouth, out of your heart, that rises up, not with people who you know that you need to be strong around. I'm talking about the people who, when you see them, they make you feel supported and relaxed, and people who you can just be yourself with. And, what comes up out of you in that moment? Oh, it's tough. You know, I've not been getting much sleep. You know, the baby wakes up every hour crying. You know, my husband's just really difficult at the moment. He needs a breakthrough. My mum's having difficulties. Now, this is a subtle thing, but I really sense that God wants me to try and communicate this today. You see, what I want to try and speak into this is, if you know that's you, that you realize that you very quickly identify with your struggle. It's been hard. I've been fighting a lot. Yes, you're someone, perhaps. Some of you won't be, but some will be those. But I achieve a lot. But God is saying the way you get there could be so much more joyful. You see, what God wants to do is to give you a challenge in this year, 2015, to not allow negativity to be something that you hold on to. To not allow yourself to home in on the struggle, but instead, or to home in on the problem, but instead to home in on the power of the problem solver. You see, you always have a choice. You know, we all go through stuff. Say stuff. The Bible promises that we'll go through stuff. But it's our response to the stuff. Say response. It's our reaction to the stuff. Am I, when I see the stuff coming, you know, you get to the point where you ignore it. It doesn't even bother you anymore. Some of you have heard me share that God put on my heart, and I think it lasted the period about 2 or 3 years. He said to me, I never want you to say the words busy or tired anymore. I was like, wow. And can I be really honest? The way I knew it was God, I almost felt like someone had taken away my favorite toy. How are you doing, Joe? Oh, well, you know, I'm so busy. I've got such a big workload. I've got so much on. You know what? Juggling marriage, children, work, ministry. Oh, my goodness. I've got so much on. And God's thinking, well, until she realizes that that's not much, I can't give her more. Some of you, you're saying, God, give me more, and yet you spend half your time complaining about the amount you currently have to do. Are you hearing me? I believe that the Lord is laying out an invitation to you in 2015, where you will say, I will not focus in on the negative. I will not focus in on the challenge. I remember one of the things that God had to change my thinking about was my daughter, Abby, in her probably first 4 years of her life, she had something like 15 operations. And we were constantly in and out of hospital. Those who were around close to us at the time, you'll remember it. I would go to an appointment at Great Ormond Street, you know, expecting just a quick appointment. They'd look and say, I'm really sorry, we need to keep her in. It happened again and again and again, you know, we were at hospital at Great Ormond Street, which meant it was a long distance to be able to see Benji. It was all felt like just such a struggle. Are you hearing me? And it's like the whole thing had become this huge deal in my life. This huge mountain that was just ahead of me the whole time. You know, not only was she in pain, but I was fed up with it as well. And I was contending the whole time. And, you know, at one time we had 5 different consultants who were involved in her well-being. One that was purely responsible for trying to help relieve her pain, a consultant that was responsible for relieving pain. And one day God said to me, he said, Abby is a blessing. Are you hearing me? Abby is a blessing. Let me speak to you where your family situation is in turmoil. Your family is a blessing. Start to agree with God's word. Your work, your job, you are blessed to have a job. If you haven't got one, you're blessed to have more time with Jesus right now. Are you hearing me? It's about our perspective. You see, things can seem so overwhelming that we don't want to hear God challenge us in that area. Well, I had every excuse to be negative and to be feeling a bit sorry for myself. But God said, no, you haven't, Joe, because time here on earth is short. No, you haven't, Joe, because everywhere you go, you're an influence. No, you haven't, Joe, because if you're carrying around some sort of yucky feeling in your heart, you know what other people are getting splurged with? Your yuckiness, my yuckiness. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God is speaking to us this morning. He's saying, my son, my daughter, it's time to arise. It's time to stand up. It's time to count every blessing in your life. It's time to declare the word of God over your circumstances. It's time to believe that God is able to do that which others have said is impossible. It's time to believe the best. It's time to declare the best. It's time to allow the past to be broken off from us. A new season, a new day. But you and I are the ones who will rise up into it. Would you stand to your feet? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, Paul said in Philippians 4, verse 11, he said, I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I have learned. In other words, he had to apply himself. He didn't say, I've received the secret. He does talk about the secret of contentment. But he got it through a lesson. You know, I believe that God wants us to use our mouths to direct the course of our lives this year. And I believe he's saying, you know, there's times where I catch myself and I might be all troubled and then I suddenly just go, stop it, Joe. And I put a smile on my face instead. And I just say, thank you, Lord. It's all good. It's all well. You know, it's amazing how much just choosing, when someone asks you a question like, how are you doing? And you do want to share some stuff. But let me encourage you, allow the smile from within. The joy inexpressible and unspeakable to come forth before anything else. There is a joy that comes only from the throne of God. There is a joy that endures through everything. There is a joy that will be your strength. You know, some of these things aren't as spiritual as we make them out to be. Or rather, they're not as up there. It's just saying, hush. And allowing a smile to just break out across your face. The Bible talks about calming and quietening our souls within us. Like we wean a child. Quiet, quiet, Joe. I speak to myself. I don't mind if you think I'm mad, because I speak myself happy. Amen? We choose. And we choose. You know, one of the things I love about the nation of America, you know, the positivity over there is infectious. But you know, you can be a positive influence of love, of kindness, of peace. When you walk in a room, does the stress level increase? Do people think, oh my goodness, here they come? Or when you walk in a room, is there a sigh of relief? When you walk in the room, are you bringing peace? Because peace is a person called Jesus. When you walk in a room, you're bringing the presence of God. Thank you, Father. Just lift up your hands in the presence of the Lord across this place. Oriesta, l'Oriente, coriesta, torio. L'Oriesta, tocosti, pequeñaco. Oriesta, l'Oriente, co. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, I just, first of all, I want to pray for every person. And I don't, you don't need to do this in a way where other people are going to see. So if everyone just shuts your eyes, not that it's embarrassing, but just everyone shuts your eyes. But if you know that you've really struggled with this area of negativity, and you've quickly interpreted your own life in terms of how difficult or hard the fight. You're in combat before anyone is even picking a fight. I just believe that God wants to relieve you of that burden. That's the way the Lord showed it to me. It's like this massive weight you're carrying around. And He wants to relieve you of that weight. So right now, if that's you, just lift both hands up in the air. You're saying, I know that I've seen things from a negative perspective. I've seen the problem. I've easily got into strife. Right now, just lift up your hands in the presence of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And I just want you to see yourself giving that burden to the Lord Jesus. Just say to Him, I give you every root and trace of negativity in my heart. Some of you were raised in quite hard homes where there were very high standards. And so you were constantly being confronted with where you hadn't achieved as opposed to what was good, and it's created that negativity. For others of you, it's just that you've set very high standards on yourself, and it's, you see, perfectionism can often produce this, where we end up becoming negative. We don't see the 99 things that went well, but the one. And the Lord is saying, I want to change that, my son, my daughter. If that's you, again, just lift your hands up high and just say, Lord, take away every root of negativity from my heart. Take away all negativity. And help me, Lord, to see things the way you do. Help me to see your perspective. Help me to see the solution and the answer. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord God, I speak your peace right now with your hands still raised high. Father, right now into every single open heart in this place, every open heart in this place, I speak your peace, Lord Jesus, your peace. I speak into every heart and I declare over your life, son, daughter of the Most High God, I declare it is well. I declare that you are blessed. I declare that God has made everything beautiful in its time. I declare that you are blessed and you are a blessing, and that you carry the love and goodness and favor of the Lord God Almighty around with you wherever you go. Thank you, Lord God. Father, I thank you that every single one of us has your light. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord God, thank you for your light. Right now, just allow the Holy Spirit to just fill your heart. I can just see literally some of you right now are going to be seeing the light of the Lord just flooding into your heart right now. I just see it like shafts coming down from heaven, and light is filling your heart. I'm filling your heart with my light. I'm filling your heart with my light. My son, my daughter, go, go, go with the light. With my light, and shine into the darkness, and into the difficulties and pain and pressure of the people's lives around you, because you are a carrier of my light. You are a carrier of my light. You are light, because you are in me. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And before we close today, if you're here today and you have never really given your heart to Jesus, you haven't handed over the reins of your life, you've not said, Lord Jesus, come and have your way. Just for a few moments, I want to speak to you, because the Bible says that God has a plan for your life. A really unique purpose for your life. But the only way that you will ever reach that place of true fulfillment is by surrendering your life to Him, because He takes what is messed up and broken and He mends us and restores us and releases us to fulfill a destiny that is the most rewarding thing ever. Right now, if you're saying, I want to invite Jesus into my life, I want Him to fill me with His love, would you just, while everyone else is praying, would you just put your hand up so that I can pray for you? You're saying, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to rededicate my life to Jesus. If that's you, just lift your hand up so that I can pray for you. Thank you, Jesus. And if after the service you feel, you know, I just want someone to pray for me, please, someone will do that. And right now, thank you. Thank you. I'm just going to lead you in prayer. So let's all pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you that you love me. Thank you that you have a great plan for my life. I open my heart up to you. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Forgive my every sin, I pray. And make my life anew. I thank you that you are my Lord. You are my Savior. And I give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. Praise God. Why don't you give Jesus praise?